Here, aren't you? Thank you for being here each and every night. I certainly appreciate it, and all the food and all the hard work and the giving and just the great testimony and attitude of the church here. It is such a blessing, and I am so excited to be with you. I appreciate the good weather that you gave us this week. Like you had anything to do with it, but I appreciate it anyway. And tomorrow morning we'll get on a plane and go back to a place where it's frozen and cold, but we call it home, and I'm thankful that God has us there and looking forward to the days ahead. Mark, please, chapter 12, please. Mark chapter 12, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 12 is where we're going to be, and I'm looking forward to tonight, what God is going to do. I hope that you'll focus in tonight and pay attention to what God has. Again, missions conference is kind of like a business meeting. It's where we as a church gather and decide, what are we going to do for world missions? And missions is not necessarily building buildings, although sometimes missions dollars are used to build buildings. But missions dollars are given to get the gospel to the world. And so whatever it takes to get the gospel to the world, whether that's putting a roof on a church, or whether that's buying a bus for somebody in Thailand, or whether it doesn't really matter, whether that's buying something for a missionary in American Samoa, or buying gas or gospel tracts, or paint jobs on vehicles that's used to get the gospel to the world, whatever it is, those are what missions dollars are used for. And that's what this conference is all about, is bringing us aware to the fact that there are souls, not only in Red Level, but all over the world that need Jesus Christ. And we got an opportunity as Americans with great abundance to be able to get the gospel to the world. How many countries are there in the world? Does anybody know? 195 countries. What's the largest country by population? Does anybody know? Largest country? Where? There you go, India. I thought somebody said Indiana. I don't know about that. Okay, but it is India. 1 billion people there in India, and there's 1 billion people in China. How many? What's the population of the world right now? Does anybody know? 8.1 billion people. In 25 years, what's it going to increase to? 11 billion, they say. That's quite incredible, isn't it? To think of how many billions and billions and billions of people are on planet Earth right now, and that it's only going to increase, and whose job is it to get the gospel to all those places? Whose responsibility is it? The church should take more responsibility than the missionary does to get the gospel to the world. Right. I'm not saying that Brother Zach and his family, as they start churches in America, Samoa, that they don't have a responsibility to reach the world also. Amen? But it's sometimes we sit back and say, well, it's the preacher's job, or it's the missionary's job, or whatever excuse we make, but it is the church's job to get the gospel to the world. The church is the vehicle that God chose to get the gospel to the world. And you say, well, is that in Scripture? Can you prove it in Scripture? Yes, I can. I could take you through time, and time won't allow us to do that tonight, but I could show you through the Scriptures how Paul went from Jerusalem, and then he went to Antioch. And as he was in Antioch at that local church, and he was preaching and teaching, he traveled, and he went west, and he traveled, and he planted churches all the way through. He planted churches in Macedonia. He planted churches on the island of Cyprus, and back over into Antioch, and he would report back. Listen, this thing of missions didn't originate in the heart of men. It originated in the heart of God, and he put it in this first century church. And you say, why are these preachers going around and raising money, and why are they going and planting churches? And I don't understand why they don't just stay here in America and just live lives and teach Sunday school. Listen, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as that's what God wants us to do. But the Holy Spirit of God says from time to time, hey, separate me, somebody, from this church, and I want them to go to this place. And when he does that, you know what it takes to get them there? Money. It always takes money. We talked about grace giving from those churches of Macedonia, and we realized that church giving is threefold. There is an abundance promise. And we talked last night much about that, about how in America we have much abundance and we're not upset about it. We're very thankful that God has given us abundance, but to whom much is given, much is required. And each and every one of us have an obligation to give of our abundance. And we give by faith. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we don't know what November holds for our country, but we know that God is in control and everything is going to be all right. I don't know what 2025 is going to be like, but I do know that God is in control and everything is going to be just fine. So I don't need to hoard and I don't need to put in a hole or put my entire life into a bunker where I'm going to hide from everything that's going on. No. I can have confidence and give by faith. Can I say, but there is also another promise in this grace giving that the churches of Macedonia did. There was a sacrificial promise. Well, now you're in Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look there in just a moment. But those churches in Macedonia said that they gave out of their great trial of affliction. Folks, I want you to realize these churches in Macedonia, I don't know how poor they were. But the Bible doesn't describe a lot of churches as churches that are in deep poverty. We talked just a moment ago about what it's like to be in deep poverty, and none of us in this room are in deep poverty. 8.5% of the world makes less than $2.15 a day. None of us are in that boat. Listen, most children today won't work for $2.15 for the entire day. Most children won't work for $2.15 an hour. Am I telling it right? And I'm not upset about it. What I am saying is that we have been given very much. And these churches gave of their sacrifice. I told you some of the biggest givers in my church are widows. Some of the biggest church givers in my church are not folks that we would look at as wealthy, but they're givers. And they're big givers. Let me just go ahead and say this so you're aware. God does not need your money. He doesn't need it. Well, here you go, Lord. I hope you're happy with me. Here's some money. The missionary from Thailand, he needed a bus, and so here's some money. God, aren't you impressed with me? Did you realize that in heaven there is a street of gold? You think that you're going to give something to a God that has a street of gold, that owns everything and has all power and can create money? He can set up kings and tear down kings. And you think he's going to be happy with a few thousand dollars that you gave? You say, why are you talking to my preacher? I'm just trying to help you get the right mindset. Sometimes we think that God will be pleased with how much we gave. Giving has never necessarily been about God getting something from you. It's about God getting all of you. It's God getting a hold of you. Because the Bible teaches us that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. When we give, all of a sudden our heart is attached to it. Why do you care about what happens in this church? Because your heart is here. And why is your heart here? Because your treasure is here. Why do I care about the world and why do I care about these countries and many of them I've never stepped foot in? 195 countries and many of them I've never been to. Why do I care about them? Because my treasure is there. And where my treasure is, my heart is there also. Now here's the thing. God doesn't necessarily care about your money. And there's many of us that are pleased with ourselves because, look, I put $20 in the offering plate, or I put $50 in the offering plate, or I put $1,000 in the offering plate, and look at me. Look how much I've done. Look at what I've given. Now, if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I've never felt that way. Have you ever written a big check and put it in the offering plate? It feels good. I'm just being honest with you. In my flesh, it feels really good to be able to give. And I think, wow, what a blessing to be able to give so much to our God. But I want you to realize that God is not sitting in heaven saying, wow, I cannot believe you just gave 500 bucks. Look at that. Wow. God is not impressed by what we give. Look in Mark chapter 12, please, in verse number 40. 1, please. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41. I want you to see how God looks at it when we give. God never looks at our dollar amount and is impressed by it. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41, the Bible says this. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Notice what the Bible said. Jesus was standing over there watching the offering happening. And he was looking not how much money people were putting in the offering plate, but listen to this, how they were putting money in the offering plate. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we think, oh, look at me. Well, here you go, preacher. I gave my tithe. I hope you're happy. Listen, I've said this a million times before at our church, and I'll say it here too. God doesn't need your money. And so if you can't give it the right way, just keep it. Amen? Don't have a bad attitude. Act like you're doing somebody a favor. Knock it off. Jesus is sitting over there and he's watching how people are casting money into the treasury. And the Bible says they which are rich were casting in much. You know what that's called? Abundance. He says in verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, gather all those guys together, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast in of their what class? But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You say, well, how does God look at my life and what I give? And how do I really determine how much of me God has? It's not about the dollar that you give, but it's really about the percentage of what you give. Amen? Let me give you a practical illustration. Colton, come here for a second, please. You don't mind? Isn't he a handsome boy? He gets it from his uncle. His humility as well. Right. All right, Colton. Are you good at math? Yeah. I heard you're a genius. Is that true? Someone lied. All right, here. I'm going to give you some money because I'm your cool uncle. Okay, let's see. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, $100 in $10 bills. And I'm going to give this to you because I'm a nice uncle. You remember this in my old age when I'm poor, okay? And you're strong and working, all right? So I'm going to give you this $100. But here's the thing. I am going to give this to you, but I want you to make sure that you give 10% to tithe, and I want you to give 10% to missions. You think you can do that? All right, go ahead. Give it to the Lord. 10% tithe and 10% missions. Look at that. We just got $10 for missions. Praise God. And 10% you honored the Lord with. Okay, now you get to keep the rest of that. Does that sound like a good deal to you? Now, you tell me this. Does that sound like a good deal to you? No strings attached. You get to give that. Now, was it easy to give that money? Why was it easy? What was that? Somebody said it. Because I gave it to him. Right? And some of you are sitting there saying, well, if you would have given me the money, I would have had no problem putting the offering plate either. See, that's our problem. We think we've earned it. We don't understand that God gave it to us. When you put money in the offering plate, it ought to be the same way. Colton's happy to give 20% of all of his income because he's poor and doesn't have a job. He's happy to give all of it because he understands that just 5 seconds ago, it belonged to me. And let me help you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what you have belonged to God and he gave it to you. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything you have, everything you own, every bit of increase comes from Almighty God. At our church, we thank you, Colton. You can sit down. I'm serious. You can have it. No, that's yours. I'm going to need some more help in just a second. You decide who wants to volunteer. Here's what I'm saying, folks. At our church, we have an offering. We call it the Mars Jar. It's a time where kids can give to missions. Now, they give faith promise, and I told you our kids have a commitment, but we have another thing where we just have another opportunity for people to give. And what happens is people will bring their spare change, and they'll bring that spare change, and when they bring that spare change, all the kids will run around, and all the kids go around to the adults, and they take the offering, and they bring it back, and they throw it in the little bucket that we have, and they'll run to the other adults. And you don't want to talk about kids taking up a good offering, man. They'll stand there and just wait. And you'll see the adults, I don't have anything else. And if you pull out a wad of cash, you can ask Brother Kevin. He's been there. They will stand there until you hand every dollar. You say, well, it's hundreds. They don't care. They don't know. They just see it's green. And I say, give it to me. I'm taking it to the offering. And they are so happy to do it. And I told our church one time, I said, you know why kids are so happy to bring that offering? And everybody said, well, because it's not their money. And that's 100% true. That's why we have such a hard time joyfully giving, because we think what's in our bank account and what's in our pocket belongs to us. No. It's Almighty God's. And we can run and we can take it and we can run it to the offering because it doesn't belong to us. God loves a cheerful giver. I need some more help. Can you help me? Come here. I need some help. Now, I'm not going to give you $100, but come here. I'm not that rich. I'm sorry. All right, here you go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. But here's the deal. I want you to give your 10% tithe. Are you good at math? I should have asked before. No, she's not good at math. All right, well, we're going to help her anyway. All right, I want you to give 10% of it, which is going to be a dollar. Okay? I want you to give 10% to tithe, and I want you to give 10% to missions. Can you do that? All right, which is going to be a dollar each. So that's going to be $2. All right, look at there. Praise God. All right? Were you obedient to the Lord? You honored the Lord with your tithes and offerings? You didn't rob God. Congratulations. And now you've given money to missions. All right, thank you. You can be seated. That's your money. You can be seated. Have eight. She should have gone first, right? She honored the Lord. All right, now I need some more help. All right, Kelly, come on. Kelly's going to help. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. I got 1, 2, 3, and 4. I know, it's not fair. I know. It's not fair, right? Okay, Kelly, I'm going to give you these quarters. Okay, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to give one quarter into the offering. You think you can do that? You don't know? If I can't trust with it, I can't give it to you. All right, I want you to give one quarter in the offering. All right, let me ask you a question. You can be seated. Thanks, Kelly. Those three quarters are yours. Don't spend it all in one place, okay? Let me ask you a question. Who gave the most offering tonight? Kelly did. Why? And does God need any of this? Is God sweating over this $22.25? Is God saying, well, if I don't get that $22.25, my work's just going to be over? Is that what God's thinking in heaven tonight? No. But see, we looked at the one that gave $20 and we think, wow, look at that. And listen, why this is just a small illustration, how many times have we done this in our life? We put $500 in an offering plate, or we put $1,000, or we put $10,000 in an offering plate, and it's not even 1% of our income. And we think, wow, look at us. Look at how much we get. I gave so much money to that church. Folks, God does not look at it like that. That's why the biggest giver in God's word is this widow woman that just gave two mites, which barely make a farthing. And Jesus told his disciples as they're looking at this and saying, hey, look at all these people that gave all of this money. And he says, that woman gave more than them all. Because God is not concerned with the dollar amount you give. He's concerned with how much of you give. And she gave all. And this offering tonight, now I know it's not about who gave the most, but we understand in God's economy, Kelly did the best. You with me? Listen, when it comes to giving to our tithes and offerings, sometimes we'll think, well, if, Pastor, if I gave 10% of all my increase, if I did that, you don't understand. That would be a lot. No, that would be honoring the Lord and not robbing God. Then when we talk about missions, we think, well, Pastor, if I give, you know, $500, that's a lot of money. Now, to some of us, that's a lot of money. I understand. To some of you, you don't have $500 you can give. I understand that. But there's some that do. Am I telling it right? But there's some that could, and they wouldn't miss a meal. There's some that could give a whole bunch of money in the offering plate, and they could support all sorts of missionaries, and it really wouldn't hurt that bad because we've been abundantly blessed. Are you with me? Folks, it has never been about how many dollars you give, but how much of you and your money does God have? This widow woman, although she didn't have much, because remember what the Bible says. We're not asking you to give according to that you don't have, but God has asked you to give according to what you have. Colton got $100 and he gave 20% of his money. Emily gave got $10 and she gave 20% of their money. Although they're separated by $18, they gave the same amount in God's eyes. Kelly, who was given a dollar, gave 25% of his money, and in God's eyes, he gave more. You with me? I think a lot of times we get so focused on a dollar amount when it comes to missions, and we make a promise to give a certain dollar amount to missions. And we really take God and we kind of box him in. When I was growing up, I was always taught, you know, at first, this is how I was taught at first, and then my pastor kind of changed the way he taught and taught according to this way, but I was always heard that, you know, you pick the dollar amount. You know, as a young person, you pick a dollar amount, you say, okay, God, I'm going to promise you $5, you know, $5 a week to missions. Now, I realize that a lot of us in here, we could figure out where we can get $5 and we could promise it and move on. But you know, as a little kid, it's very difficult to find $5 a week. You with me? How much did I promise? I promised 5,000% more than I had. At some point, that's a little bit of foolishness, is it not? And so trying to understand how all this worked, I realized that God doesn't look at our money in dollar amounts necessarily, but he looks at our money in percentage. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the principle. Listen, answer me this question. Who do you think could have given more? I mean, more dollar amount. Do you think the churches of Corinth, who were wealthy, could give more, or the poor churches of Macedonia? Which one probably gave more of a dollar amount? Corinth. But who was the standard of giving? The poor church. Right? Because God understood what it means to be a giver is not necessarily about how much you give, but really what kind of percentage of your income are you giving? Are you with me? So when it comes to missions, and what I've practiced over the years is this, you know, at first it was, I remember when we moved to Kenai, and my first, I told you the financial state that we were in Kenai there when I first got there, and it came for Faith Promise time, missions conference time, and I promised that I would give $25 a month to missions. I want you to realize that's not a lot of money. And if we have any kind of wealth at all, that's not going to get the job done to get the gospel to the world. Are you with me? But then I remember God blessed me, and I became the pastor of the church, and all of a sudden that $25 commitment, it wouldn't be fair when I increased several times what I was making. It wouldn't be fair to continue my commitment of only $25 a month. Are you with me? And so here's what I began to do. I began to say, God, okay, I'm going to promise you a certain percentage. Now, God says for our tithe, we're to give how much? He didn't say a dollar amount. How much did he say? 10%. That's exactly right. So I began to think about this and say, okay, God, how do you look at money? God doesn't look at money in dollar amounts. He looks at it in percentage. And so I said, well, God, if that's how you look at it, then I shouldn't be bragging or thinking that I'm doing you a favor. I think I'm giving so much when really I'm giving so little of my income that you've given me. So I said, okay, God, what percentage do you want me to give? Now I remember the first time, the first commitment I made was about 3%. And you say, well, that's not very much, preacher. Why don't you try it? And I'm not saying take away from my tithe. I'm saying I give my tithes. I give to a building fund. But I'm going to give 3% of my income for world missions. You say, well, that's not very much. Well, try it. And then I remember the time when I told you about when I bowed my head and I said, God, we don't have enough money. What should I do? And God said, okay, I want you to give more. And that time specifically, that same still small voice said, why don't you try 5%? I thought, Lord, are you sure? And then I remember the time sitting in a missions conference when God said, you know what? I think I want you to give 10% to missions. And I thought, Lord, I don't know if you're good at math, but now we're at 20% of our income. And then now I want you to give 12%. Now I want you to give 20%. And you say, well, how far are we going to go? Well, the standard is all. And when I've given all, well, then I can slow down, huh? But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that God has never just been interested in a dollar amount. So be very careful as we consider what will we do for missions this year. Don't sit here and say, well, I'm going to give $500 to missions this year. And if you do, that's great. But why don't you see what God can do through you? I've been teaching this at our church for the last seven years. I've been teaching percentage giving to missions, and it's not a lot, I understand. But we went from, you know, supporting about 20 missionaries, and we had about 30,000 promised every year to Faith Promised. And now, just 7 years later, we have promised well over 100,000. And we've, over the last several years, we've had over 100,000. I'm not talking about a building fund. I'm not talking about paying the preachers and the staff salary. I'm talking about giving the gospel to world missions. And you say, is that enough? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. All I'm simply trying to say is sometimes we think so small. And we box God in so much. What would it be like if we just said, you know what, God? However you bless me, I'll promise that to missions. You know what happens all of a sudden? God starts to give you raises. I remember the first time with that 5% commitment that I made. If I'm lying, I'm dying. God said, I want you to give more. I made that promise to increase my giving from 3% to missions, just to missions, from 3% to 5%. That was on a Thursday night. I went in Friday morning, and my boss gave me a raise. Now you tell me, that's just or happenstance. No. That's Almighty God. And listen, as God grows us, he's going to grow our giving as well. But stop sitting back and saying, well, look how much I do, and look how much I've done for this church, and look how much I've given. No. What percentage of your income are you giving to God? What percentage of your income does God have? Many will give out of their abundance, but God has never been interested in our money. He's been interested in our sacrifice. And I ask us that question, have we even ever sacrificially given? Have we ever sacrificially given anything? You know, like where you had to do without so that you could give to God. And let me just say this. When you sacrifice something, you don't plan on getting it back. We hold on to it and say, well, God, I'll give it to you as long as you promise to give it back. Listen, when they would go and sacrifice animals and things in the Old Testament, they didn't take that animal there thinking, I'm going to get this animal back. They took it there for sacrifice. It was total destruction. It was never coming off the altar. It was totally given to God. And can I say that when we give, don't give thinking, well, if I give, I'm just going to get it all back. Now I'm thankful that God does give to us. But you know, this woman, she needed more than just finances. And ladies and gentlemen, in America especially, we need a whole lot more than just finances. We need some help from God, do we not? We need a touch from God, do we not? We need a lot of help from Almighty God. And if we're going to expect God to help us, then we're going to have to get to this place where we are willing to give. I wonder if you could give all you have to the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about all that's in your bank account. I'm talking about all that's in your 401k, your home, everything you have. Now, I'm not asking you to do that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to do that tonight. But here's what I am saying. Stop bragging about what you think you give. Stop thinking in your heart, well, I have given this. Stop thinking in the business meetings that you get to run everything because you've given so much. Folks, no. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Until God has all. By the way, once you give all, you won't act like a fool anyway. Could we give all to our living God? I can't say that I'm in a state where I've given everything. But I'm striving to be that way. And every year I've asked God to help me grow and give more and give more and give more and give more and give more. And you say, well, when are you going to stop? Well, one or two things happens. Either I have nothing left to give or the whole world is one for Christ. Let me just say this too. God never asked this woman to give everything she had. You with me? God never asked her to. But she did it anyway. Talk about proving the sincerity of your love. Talk about saying, look, I need something more than just finances. I need help from Almighty God. I'm inspired by this woman's giving, this widow woman's giving, who didn't have anything to rub together, and yet she gave. What would it be if God's people decided, you know what, I'm going to try to give aggressively towards the mission? Like I said, a lot of us could give a lot of money in here tonight. And I realize that $500 in our world is a lot of money. It's not as much maybe as it used to be, but it's a lot of money. $1,000 is a lot of money. And you think $500, $1,000 a month, that's a lot of money. But there's several that could give that kind of money without even sacrificing. Meaning that you still get to have any meal you want. You still get to have any drink you want. You get your teas and you get your coffee and you get your Jordans that you don't want to crease. And you get your dress shoes and you get all these things. And there's no sacrifice. But when's the last time that you gave to the point where you sacrificed? Because this is what grace giving is. It's not just giving of our abundance. It's not just giving by faith, but it's even giving by sacrifice. And all three is when we really understand the grace of our Lord that was given to us. Can I say that we shouldn't even necessarily sacrifice just for people, but we should sacrifice for our God. We should sacrifice for our God. How many of you have seen this over the last couple of days? What's on the TV over here? I'll call your attention over here. How many of you have seen this when we ate on Sunday? I had it up, and the other night it was sitting up here. Does anybody have any idea what this is? Somebody who I haven't told what it is? You know what this is? It says, let me help you. It says 522,400 and change, and it's clicking up. What this is the global death average is a death every 1.8 seconds. That means just about every second, two people have stepped into eternity. How many realize that once somebody crosses from this life to the next, that their choice for salvation, their opportunity to get right with God, it's over? Do we understand that? That's why the preacher keeps saying, and missionaries, and I said, if you're not born again, get born again today. Don't wait. But folks, since 10 o'clock on Sunday morning when we started this meeting, it's too late for 522,000 people. Are you hearing me? In a world that mostly doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I think it's a fair assumption to say that at least 75% of those people don't know Christ. By the time we get back here on Sunday, over 1 million people will step out into eternity. They sang just a few minutes ago, I don't want to waste a breath. I don't want to waste one heartbeat in this chest. I want to be a light. I want to lend a hand. Speak the truth to a dying man. You know, the truth of the matter is most of us don't really live that way. We've wasted time all week. And we've sat back saying, well, I'm glad Pastor Drew had this meeting, but I ain't giving nothing. It's been fun. The food's been good, but I'm not convinced. Folks, while we're sitting back here waiting and playing games with God, deciding if we're going to get involved in what God has asked us to do, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands are dying. While we're sitting here right now, hundreds are dying and stepping out into eternity somewhere. And you say, well, who's going to make the difference in their life? Us. Us. And how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to share the gospel in Red Level. We're going to share the gospel in Alabama. We're going to share the gospel in Florida. We're going to share the gospel in Georgia. We're going to share the gospel in Virginia, in Tennessee, in the Carolinas, and in West Virginia, and in Michigan, and in New York, in Maine, and Rhode Island, and all of those cities over there. And we're going to spread over into Michigan, even Michigan. And we're going to spread over into Wisconsin, all the way over to Wyoming, and all the way down the California coast, and all the way into Texas, and all the way down into Mexico, and all the way down into Brazil, and all the way down into Chile, and all the way down to Australia, and all the way over into the Philippines, and all over the world. We're going to share the gospel. You say, well, how's that going to get done? Well, it's going to be by God's people surrendering their life. But in the middle of missions is money. In the middle of missions is money. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? And look, you don't get to vote with just saying, well, I vote we ought to do this and we ought to do that. No, no, you know how you vote? You know how you vote? This is how you vote. You say, well, preacher, why are you so passionate about missions? Because my wife and I vote. Every increase we get, whether we sell a home, whether we get our Alaska Permanent Dividend Fund, which you don't know what that is, but some of you do. Whether we get our paycheck monthly from the church, whatever it is, whether we get paid from another obligation, whether somebody gives us something, whatever it is, we've already decided we're not going to rob God, and we're going to vote for world missions. Each and every week, we're going to vote. You know what our vote is? Let's get the gospel to the world. Our vote is to aggressively do it. Our vote is to say, God, we are going to make a promise of faith. We are going to give out of our abundance. We are going to even go to the place where maybe we have to do without something in our life because we think that this job is all that we are here for. Folks, how many of you understand this? And let me say this very carefully. You were not created on this earth, and God did not leave you here so that you could have community. So that you could have fellowship as a church. That's not why God left us here. Because you understand, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And for thousands and millions and billions of years, we're going to have fellowship. You with me? That's not why we're here. We're not here so that we can be uplifted and encouraged, although that's a byproduct of the church. That's not why we're here. We're here to get the gospel to the world. Because when we're part of this 523,000, you see how it keeps clicking up? While you're still trying to decide, it's still going. And it's not going to stop. Right. You say, well, where are these people dying? In America? In America, Samoa? In Thailand? In China? Nepal? Russia? India? Europe? These people are dying all over the place. And many of them have never heard about Jesus. And you say, whose fault is that? It's ours. Not just yours, mine. Every single one of us. So what we got to decide is, how long are we going to let this keep ticking before we get aggressive about this thing? Before we start getting radical about giving to missions? Before we start saying, you know what, Red Level needs Jesus. Mobile needs Jesus. Birmingham needs Jesus. Pensacola needs Jesus. When are we going to start saying, you know what, God, I take this so personally that I want to live my life like I'm the only one that you're depending upon. Now, I can't give a great numerical amount like maybe somebody can. But you know what I can give? All of me. And that's as much as you can give as well. All of you. So as we think about missions, what's our choice going to be? Don't sit back and say, well, look at how much I'm doing. No. How much of you does God have? And if it's still not all, maybe we got to decide, what kind of step of faith can I take? Maybe it's just I need to give him my abundance. Maybe it's I need to step out by faith and I really need to do something. I need to step into sacrifice. And you say, well, what is that called? Well, the New Testament says that this is grace giving. The grace that was given to us, we extend to others. You hear me? Somebody came and they shared the gospel with you. That's what happened. You know what was in the middle of your salvation? Money. Oh, no, it wasn't, preacher. I was sitting at home and I was listening to a Billy Graham crusade. Well, you know what it takes to get something on the air? Money. No, it wasn't, preacher. I rode a bus to church and the Sunday school teacher preached the gospel. It didn't take no money. Now, I walked in the back of the church and the preacher preached, and I walked the aisle and I got saved. You know what it took to have a church here? Money? No, preacher, I was at my own home, minding my own business, and somebody came by and they knocked on my door. You know what it takes to get to somebody else's house? Money. I would venture to say that none of us are even saved today without money being in the middle of getting the message to us. And the Bible lines it out again and again and again and again. What are you going to do about it? It's time to make a decision, because as we sit here and talked, hundreds, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds are stepping out into eternity. And when those 523,000 step out into eternity, it's too late for them. They'll never have another opportunity. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You've listened well tonight.